You're listening to the Netmums podcast with me, Wendy Gollidge.
And me, Alison Perry. Coming up on this week's show.
So it's just trying to sort of chat to everyone in the family as well and say to them, look, it's really, really expensive. You leaving lights on is going to... Now, I look back at my mum now, she'd be like, we could land a plane on this bleeding house, Gemma, when we were younger. And now I'm like, I'm turning into my mother because I'm like, I never lights on.
But before all of that...
This episode of the Netmums podcast is brought to you by Aldi. Wendy, I've got a question for you. What's your guilty parenting pleasure?
Oh, I'd probably say it's gobbling up cold fish fingers from my kids' plates after they've abandoned dinner in favour of watching the telly.
I do that too. I reckon my guilty pleasure is sneaking out and escaping my children to have a lovely browse of my local Aldi alone.
I am so with you. What I love about Aldi is they have an excellent range of great value products. They even have an award-winning baby and toddler range, which includes weaning essentials, nappies and wipes.
It's funny you should say that because another friend told me that she switched to Aldi Mamiya and it's giving her big savings.
Yes, plus with Netmums and Aldi, new parents can get a pack of newborn nappies absolutely free. So log on to our site and let your friends know about this awesome opportunity with Netmums and Aldi.
Right, don't tell my family, but I'm sneaking off to Aldi right now.
Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode. Now, I'm pretty sure that Alison and I are boring you all senseless by now, but here at Netmums HQ, we are face first in back to school mayhem, and I don't know about you, Alison, but it is frying my brain. The admin, the bus passes, the emotions, the return to making sodding packed lunches. It's honestly, it's all too much. How are the twins doing? Well, and how are you doing with the twins starting reception?
Yeah, they started reception last week and it is a lot for us. It's mostly the emotions. It's just like them kind of dealing with all the emotions and the nerves and the fear and the excitement, and it's all just a lot. And yeah, I'm not coping very well, I'll admit. I'm a bit of a mess. I'm frazzled.
Well, I'm really hopeful that our guest today is going to be a calm, cool influence who is just going to talk to us about money and make everything okay, and we can quietly have a breakdown in the corner while she does it. Yeah?
I think so. In fact, just before we started recording, I described our guest today as Cheryl Cole combined with Martin Lewis, and I think that is a spot on description of her, because our guest today is a mum of two from Essex who has become famous for sharing her money tips. Gemma Bird, aka Money Mum, is the author of Save Yourself Happy and The Money Journal. She's a regular on Lorraine, and she even interviewed the Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, recently about financial matters.
Let's get down to it. Is it true that you've made a million from just saving pennies?
No. I love a headline. I wish I could say to you, just save a few pennies and you can make that. That would be amazing. What it is I saved, I had a very, very low income growing up, wasn't like a doctor or anything like that, or a footballer or anything that would earn lots and lots of money. And the small amount of money I saved is a mixture of investments and savings. So yes, I have gone without all the small things to create the big things. So I bought a couple of properties when I was younger with my dad. No, my dad doesn't have money. He doesn't support me. I've read a few things like that. And we bought them and then we sold them when the properties were an all-time high. Very small investment of around £7,000. And the money I made from those, me and my dad spent half with the profit as well, paid off the mortgage on this current home that we live in now. But we bought this home for £390,000 and we paid the mortgage off on it. And now the house has risen to £800,000. And we do have other investments in that. So with assets and savings, yes, I do have over £1 million, but it's not just because it's been saving pennies. And I still would, I'd say I'm rich because I've got a roof over my head. I can feed my children every day. I can go out for a meal as and when I want. I've got financial freedom. So no, I can't go and buy like a yacht or go every single solitary day and buy a Chanel handbag. But if I wanted one Chanel handbag, I can go and get that. Do you see what I mean? But not that I would, because I would just be like, it's too much money. I've got a couple of designer bags, but it's just who I am. So it's just because I've done it on, I've never ever earned loads. And that's what I always say. But I'm such a believer in all the little things add up. And it's over the years. So I started doing this when I was 17. I'm 42 now. So I've done this over years. And I would say now at 40, I am now financially secure, but it's taken me all that time. I've gone for years and years and years with having nothing, scrimping and scraping to make that money, because that was a choice I made, that I wanted to have financial freedom in my 40s. But I had, I suppose, an old head on my shoulders at 17 starting doing that. So it's not something you can just magically appear this money or create this sort of amount of sort of wealth, I suppose. It's been years and years and years of doing it. And I still do it now, even though I've got financial freedom. I value a £10 note. So if we go to the park, I do take all my snacks with me. I do take bottles of water. Yes, okay, I get the kids an ice cream, and if I want to buy a coffee, I don't have to worry like that now. But it's just in me. Like, I will take a flask if it's hot and go walk around the lake. It's just who I am, and I'll never ever change. Like, I just value a £10 note. Like, and it's just who it's just who I am. I think I could have a billion in the bank, and I'll still be the same, you know.
And you say that anyone can do it, and it sounds like from what you're saying that it's mostly a mindset thing, that even when you were 17 and leaving school, you had this mindset. Is that something that we almost have to practice and adopt to get to where you are?
Yeah, I do think it is a complete mindset. I've got friends that have earned loads more than me over the time, well in the six figures, and they'll say to me they haven't got any money. And it's like, you've got to live within your means. You could earn £4 million a year, but if you're spending £6 million, you've got no money. You could have a friend that's earning 50 grand a year, budgeting really well and saving 5 grand of that, and she could be wealthier than the other friend that earns the money. Because a lot of the time you see people and they've got everything. They wear it all. Do you see what I mean? I always say that, like credit cards, and they have to have everything. And I don't think there's nothing wrong with that. I think it's, you know, everyone's each to their own. I'm not here to tell anyone what to do. I'm just, you know, if you do want to do it and you do want to save, it's about changing your mindset to everything. Even when you're going in the local supermarket, looking at every single solitary price, taking your time, extra shopping. And I mean, really, really, really cutting back. Like, I used to do things on such a budget, checking my bank statement once a week. Right, is there any patterns there that I need to change? Any single solitary thing. Like, even recently, we've just cut our Sky down to just £5 a month, because we were like, we watch Netflix all the time. Why are we paying £30 a month? And my friend was around the other day and she was like, I don't understand, but you're only paying 30, you can easily afford to do that. And I was like, but why give him £25? It's my money that I've worked for. And she was like, and that's what I'm talking about, a mindset. Like, we've just got a different mindset. And then sort of in the next breath, she'll say, oh, I've got no money. And I'm like, this is what I'm talking about. Like, all these little things add up. So yeah, I'm a great believer in mindset and constantly reviewing and looking at things. And I'm also a great believer in having treats and having goals. And, you know, I do want to move. I really, really want this amazing house and staircase. I've still got dreams and aspirations, like all of us. It's not about not spending money. It's just about making choices. Like, if you do want a certain thing, about going with certain other things. So as I say, I've done 20 years of sort of really scrimping and striving and going about pretty much most things, to now I am sort of enjoying life a little bit more. But that's my choice. Doesn't mean I'm right. I'm not right at all. There's no right or wrong. It just means that's what I want to do. But I suffer with anxiety. So I also do think money's a control thing. So I remember this at age 7, trying to save money from the age of 7, and like walking to school, picking up pennies, doing mushroom picking, going and doing like my paper round. Like, I remember I washed my neighbour's car, which I was actually terrible at, and he didn't want to pay me. And then I like, right.
Well, mushroom picking could go one of two ways as well, let's be honest. What sort of mushrooms are you picking?
It was an awful job. I'm not going to lie. I was 40. I used to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and cycle my bike. But it was just, I think I got paid about £3 an hour. But at that time, that was a lot of money, because I've got no outlay. I'm 14. I was like putting that in my Kenko coffee jar every week and saving up. And it could, and I just always had that mindset, you know, that I wanted to like eventually work for myself, which, thank touch wood, I am doing now. And it's really weird that sort of I've made a career out of talking about saving money. And so in some way, that's kind of almost made me money. Do you see what I mean? Because that's now become my job. So sometimes things take a very, very long time to get to. Like, I don't feel that I'd got anywhere really until I hit 40. And I think a lot of the time, especially women, we put pressure on ourselves. You think at 25, you know, you need to be engaged. At 30, you must have your first two kids and married. Like, it doesn't work out like that. Like, my first husband left me when I was 30. So I think, you know, sometimes things take a long period of time. So if you're not there yet, even if you're 40, you're not there yet, maybe you'll get your dream at 45, 50, or even 60. Some people get their dream. But I do believe you can change. But I think it's very, very hard, because behaviour is the hardest thing to change. If you are a spender and you don't think about a tenner, that's very, very hard. Like, I cannot stick to the gym, for example, or a diet or exercise. I'm absolutely terrible at it. I do one day, and then I don't do the next day. It's consistency with anything in life. You have to be consistent. So I'll do sit-ups, 10 of them the first day, and I'll be like, right, I'll do 11 tomorrow. I never do the 11. And I know, and it's the same with spending money. Like my friend will be, I didn't buy that coffee today, but then the next day she might, because it's just who she is. So it is a hard thing to change, but it is a mindset. And it's like that, if anything, you can do what you want to do in life, but you have to be consistent and take the good with the bad, I think.
So most of us are struggling. Financially, it's pretty tough at the moment. What's the thing you're asked most by parents who are struggling with the fact that everything costs more than it used to? What are you asked?
A lot of guilt from parents saying, you know, that they feel like they can't take their children out, special days out and everything. And I always say this, I say at the end of the day, when you look back at your childhood, what do you remember? You remember like there's certain things you remember. Oh, my dad used to do this, or my mum used to do this, the things that used to make you laugh. You don't actually ever say, oh, I remember that Xbox they bought me. Do you see what I mean? You do remember the days out, the walks, the talks. You know, and I don't buy stuff like that for my children now. In fact, my dad said the other day to Brody, if he does well in the exams, he'll get him an Xbox. And I was like, okay, well, granddad's getting you it, because I still haven't, and he's nearly 11. He's like, not got an Xbox or a PlayStation. I'm probably the worst mum in the world. But I'm just like, well, I never had it. So you don't.
All the best. Yeah. Who knows?
It's really hard though, isn't it? Because like we just come out of the summer holidays, and I don't know about you, but my social media feeds have been filled with all of these amazing days out and holidays. And, you know, I've got three kids. Taking them to, I don't know, an amusement park, or it costs a fortune just for one day out. And it can be really hard, can't it, to feel like you're not able to really give your kids this amazing, magical summer.
It is. And it is really, really difficult. And it's really, really, really tough when you can't do it. If I look back, even 6 years ago, I couldn't do any of those things. And you do have that mum guilt. And now they have had a really nice summer. And I have had loads and loads of days at the park. We went away, but since we've been back, I think we haven't done any amusement parks since we've been back, because we had a holiday, which we're very lucky to have. But you can only do what you can do. Do you see what I mean? You can't, like, I'd love a Ferrari on the drive. I can't physically have one. So don't put too much pressure on yourself. Like, it's in some ways, it's great. You're teaching your kids you can't have everything in life. And it doesn't matter what little Jimmy down the road's doing. If he's been to Florida and then he's gone to Alton Towers and he's done this, he's done that. Because when they get older, little Jimmy might have 8 Ferraris on the drive and you might have a Fiat 500. And I think that's good, to be comfortable in your own skin, because I've always been comfortable to say to people, well, I can't afford to do that. I've got friends that are really wealthy, and I'm like, well, we can go to Prezzo's, but I can't go to the Ned if I'm saving. And so I think it's quite a good thing, because we never had loads growing up. And I feel my kids have had loads more than I've had because I'm in a better financial situation. And I actually don't think it's done them a favour. Like I said the other day, like Brody even come out with like, oh, it's all right, we can have that. So I was like, no. So for the rest of the holiday, we've gone to the park. So I think in some ways, it's probably a good thing, because they'll probably be really resilient when they're older and really understand what the meaning of life is, because it's about spending time with your children, going out. Like, I love walking. We do lots and lots of walks and being in the fresh air. And I think just be open and honest with them. Like, just say, look, mummy and daddy would love to take you to Alton Towers, for example, but we really, really can't afford it. So we've got cereal boxes or whatever. We might be able to go in the October half term, but we're going to go to the park today and we're going to have friends over, because most of the time kids want to play with other kids. That's the main thing my kids want to do. They want to play with their friends. That is free. Try and do things like with other mums and say, right, okay, look, it's really expensive, the school holidays, like in the October one, why don't we all take turns and you come to mine, I go to yours, we go over the park together, and explain it to them and do things like, if they want an ice cream, mum used to do this with us. We'd, on the way home, we'd walk into like somewhere like Iceland, get a box of lollies, and then she'd hand them out. So yeah, you're getting 4 ice creams for £1, and just little things like that. So she'd be like, right, we're going to go for a walk, then we're going to go and get an ice cream. But I was like a little girl. I didn't notice it wasn't from the ice cream van. I was just happy I was going for a walk and getting an ice cream. And I know it is harder when they get older. I'm not saying it isn't. Listen, I've got a 10, nearly 11-year-old. But to be honest, he actually does accept that. If I go, no, look, we'll just pop into Iceland. We do things like that all the time. He's like, yeah, okay, lovely. And he does drop it. He doesn't go like, oh, it's not from the ice cream man, Mr. Whippy £5 ice cream, or it's not Starbucks or whatever. So yeah, it's about managing their expectations as well, because they're going to have it all through their life, you know.
Also, it's not just the kids, is it? You mentioned, you know, you'll go to Prezzo instead of the Ned. You know, so many people listening will be having kind of awkward conversations with friends. I've had, you know, recently friends want to meet up with me and they're like, oh, we've booked this amazing Italian restaurant in this posh bit of London. And I'm like, I don't want to go out and spend, like, I don't have £80 to spend on my dinner. But yeah, to have that kind of awkward conversation where to say, actually, I can't really afford to do that. Can we go to Pizza Express instead? It's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah. But it's just about being confident in your answer, I think, is what you're saying, isn't it? It's just owning it and saying, this is the deal. I'd love to see you. Can't go there, so let's go here. And hope. And if they don't like it, they're not a very good friend to you, right?
Exactly. I was about to say.
It's really brutal.
It's really funny because when you say that, I'm always like, no, I don't think it is awkward. Like, if they don't like me because I couldn't have afforded it, then I don't want to be their mate anyway. So if they can't accept it, if they want to see me, I've always been, I don't care if there's 20 women on a group chat, I'll be like, no, I don't want to do that. And even now, like, just because I've got the money, it's still my money. Like, if I don't want to put in 50 quid for the school teacher and I just want to do a fiver, I literally write in the group chat, I'll buy my own present. And I still do it now. And they're all like, oh my God. And I'm like, well, I'm not being dictated to, like, what I'm giving. And why should I? Like, I'm my own person. Like, I've worked really hard for that money. I'd rather invest that in an ISA and spend £5 to £10 like, you know, other people do. Like, I think so many people have the pressure. And even when I've done things like that, the amount of people that then said to me, oh, I'm so pleased you did that, because I didn't want to do that either. Yeah. So I'm like, well, it is hard, because if you're not, because I'm very underconfident in lots of ways, but I'm not underconfident in speaking to people. That's really good for me when I talk to people. So I've always been confident enough to say, no, I can't do it. I'm really sorry. But yeah, never, ever feel embarrassed about it, because no one's better than anyone at the end of the day. Like, you're not better than someone because you've got more money. That's just ridiculous. Like, you're better than someone because you're a nice person. If you've got money and you've done well, that's amazing, right? Amazing. I'm proud of anybody, you know, but it don't make you, it don't define you. I know millionaires that are, some of them are lovely and some aren't. And I know people that have got no money and some are horrible and some are nice. Like, it's who you are as a person, I think. And if you want to see your friend, you'll see them regardless. You'll go around their house, you'll make time for them. It won't be just about the Ned, you know?
Yeah.
Now we're heading into, I don't like to say it on a gloriously sunny September day, but we're heading into the cold weather. It's a-coming. And last winter, we heard lots of advice about cutting your energy bills. Give us some of your advice. How do you personally save on rocketing gas bills and electric bills and keeping the heating on and all that stuff?
So what we tend to do in the winter, we set our thermostat at a sort of a ticking over in the house, and we never let the house get freezing. So that boosting up higher, lower, higher, lower, higher, lower, that's not particularly good. You know, people turn their heating off and crack it. If you're going on holiday, then yeah. But we sort of keep it at a level, and it's just sort of, it's not hot. It's just sort of tepid. And then in the evening, we do use blankets and thick jumpers in the lounge because we're just sitting there. Because when you're in bed, you turn the heating off, I always think that. So we sort of set it at a thing that's comfortable to walk around, like in a jumper and jeans, not a T-shirt. Because I go around a lot of friends' houses and they've got a T-shirt on and they wear heating and it's really warm. But I'm like, turn it down a couple of degrees. That'll save you money. And so we always do that. And I've bought things like some sort of place like B&M, you know, like draft proofers. Like, my hallway, now I've had a new front door fit, it still gets cold. So I push that up. Keeping all the doors shut and things like that really does keep the heat in. And doing things like, my mum always does this because she lives on her own. She turns radiators off in the room she's not using. And then she'll just keep them on a really, really like low number when it gets the really cold weather, just so they don't get sort of damp in the morning. Anything like that. So she'll turn them off sort of when it's not freezing cold like your January is. So that's a good one. Also, it's really important, you know, like I'm looking at now, I've got it off because I was about, if I'm going to say this and I've not got it off, I'm going to tell myself off. Switches you're not using, people leave them on all the time. Switches that you're not using, just because you've not got them plugged in, and then it's on, that's still losing electricity. So make sure everything is switched off. So even if you've got no plug in it and it's on, that will still cost you some electric. So make sure you switch all that off. And even this is a, like, really extreme, if you are really, really, really hard up, like your fridge is costing you a fortune to run, when it is freezing, turn it off. And if you've got like an outdoor building, store everything in there, because if it's freezing cold weather, you know, you can do that, like your milk, your Diet Cokes and things like that. So we put a lot of things like that out in the garden, like all the drinks, we'll put those in the garden, for example. And then we haven't got to have our fridge under such a higher temperature. We've done all things like this to like cut back on money in the past. So things, you know, don't overfill it and things, just looking at everything. If you've got a smart meter, look at that and work out, you know, when you're running certain appliances, just trying to be more mindful of it, like turning the lights off. I mean, kids are murder for that. Mine are actually, I've programmed that into them. So Brody's really good at that, but Bronte's 4, she's not. She turn the light on and then she'll walk out the room. So it's just trying to sort of chat to everyone in the family as well and say to them, look, it's really, really expensive. You leaving lights on is gonna, no, I look back at my mum now, she'd be like, we could land a plane on this bleep now, Gemma, when we were younger. And now I'm like, I'm turning into my mother because I'm like, I never I'm like, oh.
It always happens.
My best one was, were you brought up in a barn? Because I'd never shut the doors. You brought up in a barn.
There's things you can do, and obviously still look at your energy providers and things like that, and look and go onto like the government website and see if you are entitled to any grants or anything like that. I mean, just be careful with grants, because a lot of the time you do have to pay them back. But if you are really, really struggling, go to the Citizens Advice Bureau, have those conversations. Is there any benefits you can help that can help you out towards the payment in the winter, you know? And try not to get so stressed as well, even though it does rock it up, because it does average out over the year. So you might have a higher winter bill, but in the summer and months you're not using it, so you can spread it through the summer months. So try and think of it as like, oh God, don't think of it over 1 month. Sort of plan it that you're spreading it over the year, because I think it's quite horrible when you see that one bill for that when all the rest of the months have been low. So that's sort of how we do it in this house. We always have just sort of spread it out.
Yeah. So you've mentioned that you're really big on making small changes, and that you think that your financial security right now is largely down to that. What kind of really practical small changes can we make? What things can we go without? What did you find yourself doing throughout the last 20 years?
So I would drive and I wouldn't drink. I'm not a big drinker, so that might be really difficult for certain people, because they might like a drink, and I would have a soda and lime, the cheapest in the restaurant. I'd be the driver. That's a huge, so I'd go out for the night for £1.
And were you that person who was saying, let's not split the bill six ways, let's just pay for what we've had?
Absolutely. I would always be like that. I'd be like, right, well, we can go out on a voucher code. Quite a few of my friends are like me anyway, like my best mate Lambert, she's exactly like me. She's like, oh, we'll go here. Oh, we call each other Snoop. She's like, oh, I'm not paying for that Snoop. So we'll go down the local Wetherspoons. We're like two old women. We're like that anyway. We're like, oh, we can get a pizza there for... So yeah, all those sort of things, eating out, looking at where you're eating. I'd go out all the time with my friends. I felt like I had a great social life, but I wouldn't go to fancy places. I would just go... I'd go to the bar, or I'd go to beautiful bars, but I would just have a soda and lime and it wouldn't worry me. So that's obviously a huge thing I saved money on. I'd walk anywhere I could and not use my car. And I still do that now. Like, I walk down to where I live all the time and try not to drive unless I need to get like food shops and things like that. I try and walk everywhere, save money on petrol. All things like, I would look at when you go out, trying to limit on coffees, because that is something now that I do enjoy for myself, but I've gone years without that, so you'll always see me with a coffee now. But all the years when I was trying to mount it up, I would not buy the coffees out, because they do really, really, really add up. Things like looking at, I'd always sell the old to replace it with new. So if I wanted a new sofa, I'd have to sell that sofa first before I replaced it with the new. And the same with clothes. I wanted like new tops, I would sell my old top to put money towards my new top. I'd only ever buy in sales. I'd buy out of season. So, for example, when my children needed something, if they needed jumpers, I would go at the end of winter when there was a sale on, and I'd buy them the next year up and put them away for the following year. So I'd always do that. Selling absolutely everything I could to then replace for the new. I've never bought like new toys for the kids. I've used to go to like NCT Mini new sales, car boot sales, toy swap, and I do toy rotation, and I still do that now. Like Bronte even thinks Poundland is the toy store. That is what she says to me. She said it to my friend the other day. She was like, oh my God, she really does. I was like, no, I literally am like that. I'm like, because she's 4 years old, she gets bored with it. I could buy her a toy for 50 quid, but she'd still be bored after the next day. Can I have something else? You know, the attention span at four is. So she'll go there and she'll buy something for £1. So all those little things I just feel really do add up. And things like going to the gym, I'd stopped like my gym membership when I was younger. I was into the gym. I wish I was now. when we moved in here, cut down my TV, literally. And I'd say to people, as much as, you know, cut absolutely everything back and just have free view. If it is that much of a, you need to eat something, have all your free view. And we do always look for deals and then cancel them after a month. So if Netflix is free for a month, I'd have it, watch that, cancel it. Then I'd move on to Apple TV. Then I'd move on to Disney Plus. Honest to God. But and I would live like that. Every single solitary time something was coming up for renewal, 3 weeks before it's due for renewal is a really good time to look at insurance. That's when you get your cheapest quotes. So then I would go on and I would do that. I use things like Honey. It's installed into my computer. So as I'm checking out, I get my discount code every single solitary time. I check out, it searches the web for me to get generate discount codes, and then it automatically puts them in my basket. I also do things like have a 3-day rule. So I'll put things in my Amazon basket. I wait 3 days. A lot of the time you get sent discounts as well if you wait. And then after 3 days, I look at down that basket and think, is it anything I need? 99% of the time I delete the whole basket. I'm like, don't know why I put that in. Don't want that.
That's really that 3-day rule. That's what I'm taking, because I'm like Instagram ad. Oh, in the bag, bought. And then it arrives and I'm like, oh, I didn't know I'd bought that. Like, 3-day rule in the Instagram, in the Amazon basket. That's a good one.
And look at it as well. Like, if you're like into something, like if you hate your job, which unfortunately lots of people do, work out your hourly rate, right? And if your hourly rate, say after tax and national insurance, you take home a tenner, I swear to God, you will feel so differently about spending that £10 and buying that £4 coffee, because then you'll think, hold on a minute, I'm in Starbucks, it's a fiver for coffee. I have to work at that job I hate for half an hour to buy that coffee. Oh my God, I'm not doing it. I say it's like going to the gym. Whenever I've been to the gym, I never want to eat a chocolate bar, because I'm like, that is 300 calories. That takes me 2 hours on that treadmill to burn that. But when I don't go to the gym, I just shove it in my mouth because I'm not thinking about it. So look at it like that. Like, if you do see that as an hourly rate, I swear to you, it will change your mindset so much. And you'll be surprised what you can save just doing all these little things. Like, trust me, I've done it all my life. Like, and no spend days, how many days you can go about spending things. Like, I see it as a bit of a buzz. I get a buzz out of it.
We're popping on again to remind you that this episode of the Net Mums podcast is brought to you by Aldi.
Switching to Aldi Mammy and Appies can save parents more than £200 during the first 12 months alone. Don't forget to visit Net Mums to claim your free pack of newborn nappies.
And let all your friends know too. Tell us about the no spend days. Is that something you've done all your life, a no spend day? So tell us how it works.
So basically, you spend zero money, and I mean zero, not even buying herbs if you need them for your casserole that night. I'm talking about nothing. So you go around your kitchen, you use up everything you need for your food-wise in your house. If you want to go and meet a friend, you take a flask of coffee with you or a drink. You go to the park, you spend no money, no buying the ice creams. You take absolutely everything with you. So you try not to use your car, you go for walks. You literally spend no money, no shopping online, no doing this. Because when I've done it before, people have gone, I just need to like get petrol. And I'm like, no, it's no spend day, so you can't go there. Then you got to walk. People were laughing at me going, oh my God, like, okay, because it's almost like a challenge. So yeah, I used to do it on Instagram all the time, Gemma's no spend days. And like, it was really funny when people would inbox me saying, I just need tomato puree. And I'm like, well, you can't buy it, it's a no spend day. They're like, oh. And I'm like, well, what else have you got? Make a different dinner. And they're like, oh yeah, actually I've used up this and that. So it's a bit of fun as well, but it's getting you in the mindset of like, how you can live and enjoy your life. Like, look, COVID, I think, taught people some good things, like that we don't need all these designer handbags. Like, what did we crave in lockdown? You weren't thinking about wearing Louboutin shoes. You were craving going to see people, going out for a coffee, sitting out, maybe going for a meal. But they are the things that...
You've got to stop talking about coffee. I really want a coffee.
I'm leaving here and going straight to Starbucks.
It's empty. Help!
No, Gemma, when someone says to you, I am terrible with money, what's your response? Do you think it's just an excuse? Do we all have the ability to be good with money?
When someone says it to me, I don't think it's an excuse, no, because I think it's who you are and we're all built and made differently. So I don't think I could ever say to anyone, you know, that's true. But you can get better with money if you want to. You have to have a want and a desire for anything. So I just say, like, if it's making you feel ill every night, like going to bed, and you've done everything you can, you must speak to somebody. Like, there's like Step Change out there. There's Mind for Mental Health. There's places like that. It starts by talking to somebody. And if you are really bad with your money and you're earning a good wage and you're thinking to yourself, well, hold on a minute, we have £5,000 a month coming in here, our bills are £2,500, where's this £2,500 going? Then you're not good with money management and you need to sit down and work it out. And if you're no good at it, speak to a friend or a colleague or the citizen by someone that's good with money, even your local bank and builders society. Go in and get some financial help and advice. Listen to podcasts. Go on money people's pages. You know, there are people out there that talk about it. And it doesn't need to be like overly complicated. Like, I see a lot of money pages and I don't even get what they're talking about. Like, I'd say mine is very just simple terms about making switches and sitting down. The most important thing is doing something that you're comfortable with. So if you're brilliant on spreadsheets, like Adam's amazing on a spreadsheet, I'm terrible, but you might be good at like writing things down, or you might be good at putting things on your phone. Do what works for you. There's no right or wrong, and there's no one should tell you what to do in life. But if you want to do it and you want to get better, you can honestly do it, but it's consistency. It's not doing it for a day, a week, even a month. It's doing it over the year. And that's when you'll really start to notice the financial impact, because it's not a magic wand. I've been doing this for over 20 years. It's a slow burning process. And then when you've got a pot of money and you've got your savings and you've got, say, a steady thing that where you can pay off each month, you're paying your bills. And I'm not talking about somebody in debt, because that's a different situation. If you're in debt, I always say pay your debt first, don't save, because you've got interest on your debt. So if you had no debt, I'm talking about, and you're level pegging every single month, once you've built up a savings pot, then look at maybe investing. And again, that is another thing that I always say, is like with investments, people say, where should I save? What's best? That's case by case. You could have, you want to be saving for the next 20 years because you want something. Then you can do a long-term risk that's more volatile, like stocks and shares and things like that, because you've got time to get it back. It could be that you want to save for a year, so make sure you're locking it away for a year in a high interest. It could be you want instant access to it. So again, it's about what's right for you, and it's about what you need it for, when do you need the money for, and how long do you want to lock it away, or do you need access to it? So you have to, it's something that finance is an individual based thing. But for people in debt, I always say get on top of that first. And if you can't, speak to companies, because it's only money and you're worth more than money, 100% all day long.
So you talk about this and kind of like teaching yourself to be good with money, but you're a big advocate of teaching kids to be financially literate, aren't you? And you had a chat with our friend Rishi recently. Tell us about that and why you think these life skills should be on the curriculum.
Right. I think they should be on the curriculum because we go to school every single day and we're taught all these different subjects, which I'm not saying are not important, things like religious education and things like that. I do think it's important that we learn about other religions and things, but I just think we need to be cutting some of these things out, and like maybe once a month we're talking to the kids about money. And I'm not talking about the teachers, and I said this to Rishi, I said, you know, because that there's too much pressure on them already, but there's loads of banks, building societies, lots of companies out there that would willingly maybe even give up their free time, or getting government to invest in somebody, pay for educational people to go into the schools and have the conversations with the kids. And I'm talking, he said to me, we teach them maths, they're 18. Again, fantastic. That is not financial education. I'm talking about going in the schools, sitting down with the kids and saying, right, do you realise how rich you're going to be on your first pay packet when you take home £1,500 a month? You might have to pay mum and dad £400 a month. You've got £1,100 a month to spend. Bear in mind, they've had zero money. We should then be saying to them, right, we'll put £600 in a savings account and spend £600. If they put £600 away from 16 to 21, 22, they've pretty much got their deposits for their house, especially if they meet up with a friend or a partner. We're going to sort of change the mindset of so many young children and making them learn and grow. And also, like, what happens when you get into debt? Where do you go with that? Because we're told so much, don't talk about money. It's a terrible thing to talk about. Don't say how much you're earning. Don't ask people about their money. I think this all needs to be changed. We talk about absolutely everything now. You see it on the internet all the time, which is great. But we need to talk about money because it's something that affects all of us. And saying to kids, you know, if you're in debt, don't worry about it, but make sure you speak to someone straight away the minute you get in debt, so they don't then get another credit card to pay that debt off. Talk to them about APRs, interest rates. When they get a mortgage, if they borrow £200,000, they're going to pay back £300,000. And this is how interest works. If they overpay by their mortgage by £20-30 a month straight away, they might knock a year off. Showing them mortgage calculators, teaching them what to do with their first wage packets. All these things are life skills. And I cannot believe we're sending our children out and we are not going over this. Yes, it's great if you've got parents at home that are doing this, but there'll be loads of parents that aren't good with money themselves or don't understand it themselves. Like, this is basic financial education. I'm not talking about maths. I can't say it more than I've said it to him. I'm talking about teaching them these life skills and letting them have open forums where they can ask about money. What's a good wage? Whatever they want to ask. Whatever they want to ask. Now, there's no silly or wrong or right question. Then how do they learn if they're told by everyone they're not allowed to talk about money or debt or say anything about it, or you've got to keep up, or you've seen it on social media that all your friends have got this bag but you've not got it? It makes them feel crappy. It makes them feel like they're not worth something. Whereas if we started teaching them that, do you know what, you can have a Gucci handbag, girls. Honestly, you can have it. But if you have that when you're 17, 18, 19, that might cost you £2,000. But if you put that £2,000 over that, maybe why don't you could have it when you're 25, once you're on the property ladder. What's important to you? Asking them, they might say, well, actually, I just want to enjoy 16, 17, 18. I want to go raving in Ibiza. Fine. That's what you want to do. Just be careful. You've got the budget to make sure you're not in debt once you've done all that. So blow your money on going on Ibiza and having an amazing time. But let's do it that they're not getting in debt once they come out of that. Or no, do you know what? I do want to save. I'm not interested in designer things. These talks are so important. Like, I can't fathom why we're not having them. Like, it actually upsets me. Yeah. Like, I'm so passionate about it, sorry. But
no, just, it's great.
No, but it's so true. They get taught so much. And even just on a small scale, my eldest daughter has just started secondary and she's having to learn that she's got X amount of money, I think it's £4 a day, for her lunch. And so if at break time, as she did yesterday, she buys a piece of lemon cake and a smoothie, then at lunchtime, she's hungry because she hasn't got enough money left to buy anything decent at lunchtime. And she was like, oh, can you give me some more? I was like, no.
Brilliant.
Don't buy lemon cake and a smoothie, love. Simple.
So, so important. I did that with my dad. And he used to give me allowance. When I hit 17, he was like, right, I'm going to give you, I think it was £10 a week, but that was like for my bus fare to college, getting my lunch, whatever I wanted, buying my deodorant, everything. My dad's parents were like, right, we're not buying all this for you now. You have to get a part-time job. And I remember literally, I spent it and I went up to my dad. I went, right, I want to go to the cinema with Jennifer tonight. I've spent the money. Can I have some more? He was like, no. You've got to wait till next week. And I was like, but why? And he's like, you can't go to your boss at the end of the month, middle of the month, and be like, oh, sorry, Trev, I've spent all that. Can you just give us another couple of grand? It don't work like that, life. So teaching them no, and again, this doesn't matter how wealthy you are as a parent, it's just good life lessons for them because you want them to do well. Do you know what I mean? So now I'm in a good financial situation. Don't mean that I'm going to be giving Brody more. Like he went to me the other day. Everybody else in my class gets £10 a week on their go, Emery. You only give me £2. I was like, you're 10 years old. £2 is plenty. On your go, Henry. You're not getting any more. I said, I might make it £1. And I'm really like that with him. But I've noticed even that, and he's nearly 11 now. And he goes in, and when he buys this little thing on his go, Henry, he said to me, oh, I can't have anything now because I've got nothing on my go, Henry. And that's £10. So how many weeks you got to wait? Oh, he goes, I've got to wait 5 weeks now before I've got to save up again. And he's now like, oh, I'm going to make sure I save up so I can buy this next thing. But I just think it's so good. So good.
I totally agree.
Now, Gemma, tell us about your rounding up technique. How much have you saved from doing that over the years?
I couldn't tell you an amount because I've done it for so many years. Like, I did this from about the age of 17. This is well before NatWest or anyone brought it out. It was just like years ago. So whatever I had in my bank account, at the end of the day, I think I used to do when I was 17, I think I used to do it weekly. So you can do, there's no right or wrong. You can do it weekly, daily or monthly. If I had like £11 in my bank account, obviously I was young, so it wasn't a huge amount. I'd put £1 into this other savings account. So I'd still do my savings. The minute I got paid, say I got paid when I was younger, £400 a month, I'd put probably 300 in my savings account because I was hardcore. Not that I'm saying you have to do that. I'd put 300 in and then I'd say, right, I've got £25 a week, for example, for 4 weeks. And then at the end of every week on that £25, if I had like £24.50 I'd spent, I'd put that 50p into a saving. So I'd just make sure I round it up all the time to that whole number. So I've always done that. And it does really, really add up. Again, it's those little things that add up, but over the months, the years, it all makes huge changes. I do lots of things on sort of rounding up money, even like switching from branded to non-branded or doing your shop, cutting out meats and buying more pulses and things like that, so you're still getting your protein, like just doing switches. I do it like on four items and I show things like, this is only a £4 saving, but then I always show over the week and over the year and over the month, and people always like, oh my God, like you're right, just that small amount, what that is adding up to. So yeah, just whatever you've got in your bank account, if you're just wanting to save and start saving, you could do it like every day. You could go and if you've got £31 in there, you put the last one in there, a one. And if it's a zero you've got in there, say it's £40, you'd put in £4. So that's just how I used to do it. And you just put it into another bank account yourself. There's lots of apps that are out there that do it for you automatically. But they all sort of, they're more like based on AI. So they'll calculate what they think you're going to spend. So they might put more or less in, which are good as well. But if you want to do it that you sort of have more control, then you can do it that way.
So we've touched on this a little bit. And obviously money problems can really affect your mental health. And you've spoken really openly about your experiences with anxiety and depression. What advice would you have to someone who's struggling mentally to cope with money problems, or not even money problems, just anxiety around money? What would you advise? How would you speak to them?
So, being a sufferer myself, I wish I could give you the best advice, but I still struggle with it myself. But the main thing I would say is go and get help. I take medication for mine, because without it, I probably wouldn't be here. I'm that up and down low. So there's amazing organisations. I went in and met them this year, Mind, and they are honestly fantastic. The women in there just, and the men are just incredible. So if you don't feel like you've got a family member to speak to, go and speak to someone like that, and also go to your doctor, because I say, you know, your part of your mind is broken. You just process things and think things in a different way. Like, loads of people have always said to me all my life, like, Gem, I think you've got ADHD and things like that. Maybe I have, but it's just who I am. So I would say your mind might be different to other people's minds. So it's not your fault. Do you see what I mean? If you feel this way, so you've got to go and get help. Like, don't leave it, because honestly, if you're like me, you'll get the voices in your head and you'll keep overthinking it, and you'll make a situation a million times worse. Whereas if you sit down with somebody, whoever you're comfortable with, if you're not comfortable with anyone and you're really on your own, then honestly, Mind, I could not recommend them enough for talking about your mental health. They are a really good organisation. And reach out to other people, like, listen to, like, I don't do this and I probably should. And again, this is something that I'm not consistent with. My husband always says to me, you know, listen to things that make you feel good. Listen to people that make you feel good. And I go, oh, I'm not going to do that, because I think, because again, it's me shutting down. I feel like I know it all, and I don't know it all because I suffer with mental health. And he's like, I'm just trying to help you. So it is difficult, because when you suffer with mental health, sometimes you don't want to get the help, because I'll openly admit that. Like, I'll be like, I don't want to listen to him whittering on. He doesn't know anything. And Adam will be like, well, he's not whittering on. He's trying to give you advice and help. Like, you wouldn't say that if someone was talking to you about money. You might not want to hear it, but it's facts, Gem. And he's right. He is right. If he's listening to this, he'd be like, told you. But he is right. So you do need to speak to people, and I do that. And I'm lucky, because I've got Adam, who's completely level-headed, and he's like my rock. So I speak to him about everything, and I've got a fantastic agent as well in my workforce. Like, they're like my rocks as well. So if I'm getting anxiety with social media, and I think as well, it's important, if you're struggling with money, having friends in your sector. So for me, obviously, my job is on social media, so it's having people in that sector that you can talk to about. So it's the same with your job. If you work in banking, if you work in a pub, whatever you do, maybe even like speak to your work colleagues and say, like, I'm really struggling, can I have extra hours? Like, what are you doing? Like, how are you making ends meet? And having those conversations, because whatever job you're in, you have highs and lows in. So if you're struggling financially, if you're not in work and you're worrying and struggling, then like, go to places like the Citizens Advice Bureau, speak to Mind, speak to Step Change if you're in debt, because they'll put you on a plan. Like, the amount of people I've sent over there, and they're like, Gem, it is like an absolute weight's been lifted. I feel like a different person. I can at least sleep at night, because I know now I can do it. I've got a plan in place. See, a lot of people, when they've got mental health, they like being on their own. Like, we've got the NTAs tonight, and I've got huge anxiety over that, because everyone's drinking. I don't like that. So I want to go and put my dress on and see, like, some of my friends. Like, I'm going with the label lady, funny enough, Gemma, and my agent. So I'm really like, they're my really good.
Oh, she's been on the pod. We've had her on the pod.
She's lovely. So like, Gem's going to pick me up, and I feel already better again, because I felt really anxious, and Angie's coming with me. So it's about maybe being honest and saying, I feel really worried, I feel anxious. And then it's amazing. Like, if they're good people in your life, they'll rally around you and be like, come on, we're all going to go together, and we're going to have a great time. And if you want to go and you feel like it's getting too busy and stuff, we can leave. Because I don't do well with massive things like that. Like, it's not really me. Like, I'd rather come around your house and have a pizza and a coffee again.
Stop it.
I've been gifted a beautiful caramelin dress tonight, and I'm like, oh my god, the fabric on this, because I just don't wear things like that. It's unbelievable. So yes, it's lovely to sometimes have some nice things, but yeah, it's about, yeah, you have to try and be honest. Not, you don't have to be honest with the world, like I've just been with you lot, but you just be honest with like someone you're close to. And if you're not close to anyone, just even the Samaritan, it's just sometimes you just need to get things off your chest, don't you?
Yeah, that's great. I think that's going to be so helpful to people listening. Finally, Gemma, do you have any handy apps or websites? You've mentioned a couple already, like Honey was one that you mentioned, but do you have any kind of handy apps or websites that you religiously use to help you with money?
Yeah, so I don't use this one anymore because I've got like my Virgin credit card thing and I get points on that. But Top Cashback's a really good one. So every time you spend money, you do get cash back. Zip Zero, where you can literally take photographs of your receipts, you upload them and you just get money back from your receipts. Airtime Rewards. If you go on my Instagram, I've got...
Hold on. Backtrack. You get money from your receipts.
Yeah. So you just take a photograph of your receipts. It's not a scan. It's called Zip Zero. And then what happens is you link, like, I've linked my council tax. And then every time you get to a certain amount, they just pay, it comes off your council tax bill, but you can choose which bill you want it to come off. So yeah, it ain't like you ain't gonna like do loads in it, but you might get like 10-15 quid a year. But again, I think, oh, it's 10-15 quid a year, it takes me a second. Airtime Rewards, as I'll say, if you go on my Instagram, I've got a code for that where I get 50p and you get 50p, being money mum. Obviously I'm trying to earn a few quid. I know the code off the top of my head, I'd give you it. See what I mean? I'm always thinking, hold on, how can I earn a few pounds? And that's what I'm like. So you've got Airtime Rewards where you can put, you link your phone bill and money basically comes off your phone bill. So you literally download the app, you put your phone bill in, you put your card details in that you use. So like if you use a credit card, a debit card, and then every time you spend money in certain shops, money comes off your phone bill. There is no con in it. It's completely free and I've done it for years and I've had loads of money off my phone bill.
Just going to write that down.
What's the ones? Oh God, I know so many. I'm just trying to think. So they're really, really good for like your day-to-day. For making money, I've got Vinted, brilliant app. And where I'm really busy, my friend does a lot of my Vinted for me and I pay her 20%. Oh. But you're a mum and you want to make money, say to your friend, you've got anything you want to sell, maybe they'll do 50-50 with you or 30% or 25%, whatever it is. Then you've got no startup fee for a business. You've got all the stock because your mates are giving you it and the app's free and you can sell it as a business as well. So it's like a two-in-one. So flipping either side of those. What else do I use? I use those. We use Honey. Ghost is another one. Camel. That's for Amazon and that's an Amazon tracker. That's a good one.
Thank you so much, Jeff. You're absolutely bloody brilliant. You've just like, I think things. We need to bottle you, if possible.
I think I'm annoying. I probably annoy most people because I don't shut up.
Not bottle you in a violent way. We don't want to bottle
you. No. Just bottle you in a keep you kind of way. Don't worry.
You'd want to put me in the bottle and put a box over me.
Oh, it's been so good to chat to you, Gemma. Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us, Gemma.
Having me on, I appreciate it.